ABC Network News at 6 o'clock with David Johnson. Good evening. First, a look at the main Irish headlines. Locals are today searching for a man by the name of John O'Shea in Sneen, County Kerry, who failed to return from a fishing trip last night. His punt was found drifting near Sneen. The man is 30 years of age from Ross Tone in Sneen, and the local lifeboat returned to base after some 12 hours of searching. Locals, however, are continuing their search. In Limerick, Bordy are investigating a robbery at a service station in which £15,000 was stolen. The thieves entered the station through the roof, removed a safe and a large quantity of cigarettes. And Gordy and Monaghan continue their search for a man seen running from an isolated house near Smithborough. He was seen with two others at the house, which was empty at the time. However, the owner of the house, Patrick Carroll, is now in hospital suffering from shock. The men were spotted by a unit of the special task force set up to deal with attacks on the elderly. And it's now known that two men were arrested by the Gordy yesterday. They'll appear in court tomorrow. With these headlines, three people have died after a crash in a light aircraft on a hillside near Luton during a storm last night. The four-seater Cessna was on a flight from Holland to the Old Warden Aerodrome in Bedfordshire. The three that died were from Holland. The Department of Transport have started an inquiry into the accident. The Education Secretary, Sir Keith Joseph, has said the teachers' strike is totally wrong, unacceptable and futile, and went on to say that selective strike action was designed to cause maximum disruption to pupils at minimum cost to teachers. He said that no amount of disruptive action would change the fact that their claim for £1,200 for every teacher is not remotely affordable. He said the only way they could win more money was by agreeing to a reformed pay structure and changes to working practices which would benefit pupils. International news, a total of 15,000 black miners are to be sacked from two gold mines in South Africa after a series of strikes at the mines. 13,000 of the men are being sacked at the Vaal Reefs mine near Johannesburg. And it seems that daily paid workers had been protesting against a 10% pay rise given to some monthly paid miners. Finally, now a look at the weather forecast for the Bay Area. Firstly, cloudy with rain becoming heavy this evening but clearing overnight. Temperatures down to 3 degrees and winds are light to moderate southwesterly in direction. For the northwest of England, Scotland, Wales and the Isle of Man, rain spreading to most parts with snow on and temperatures down to 2 degrees tonight. Compiled from the wires of the Press Association, this is ABC Network News. Next news in an hour.
Dublin's best, Magic 103.
Good evening and welcome to the Classical Collection here on Magic 103 FM. Not only the Classical Collection, but a historic broadcast, the first broadcast of Magic 103. The Classical Collection tonight and every Sunday night from 6 to 8 here on 103 on Magic. 2 hours of the serious and the light classical, a mixture to please everybody some of the time, and with luck, everybody all the time. On the collection tonight, Beethoven, Hummel, Field, Haydn, and Handel. Tonight's collection concentrates on three composer-pianists who were contemporaries. The fourth, Joseph Haydn, although not a contemporary, had a profound influence on one, Beethoven, and a direct connection with another, Hummel. Coincidentally, two listeners have requested a particular piece by Hummel in the same week, David Kilcoyne of Howth, and Ms. Canis, I think the first name is, Dowling of Killiney. The other piece is requested by Mr. Kilcoyne, will be dealt with as the weeks go on. And thank you for your requests and encouragement. And the same applies to Mr. Gavin Kostick of Dartry, and you're getting closer with the name. But back to tonight's trio of contemporaries, Ludwig van Beethoven, 1770 to 1827, John Field, and about time I hear you saying, 1737, and Johann Hummel, 1737. And beginning with Hummel and the Concerto for Mandolin and Orchestra. Now, the mandolin is an instrument that many think of basically in connection with Irish folk music, somewhat akin to a banjo. In fact, it is, of course, an instrument which originated in its present form in early 18th century Italy, and composers ranging from Hummel and Vivaldi to Schoenberg and Mahler have composed works for it. In a later program, I'll devote some more time to the subject, but for now, Johann Hummel. Hummel's fame was mostly as a pianist and teacher, but his composition output numbered almost 150 works of all kinds. He lived under the shadow of Beethoven's genius his whole lifetime, but although rivals, they were also great friends, so much so that Hummel journeyed a long way to be with Beethoven in his last moments in 1827. The concerto was major for the mandolin and orchestra reveals just one aspect of Hummel, with its gay likeness in the Italian style. This recording is by the chamber orchestra of Jean-François Belliard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Concerto for Mandolin and Orchestra by Johann Hummel. John Field was born in Dublin in 1782 into a musical family. His father was a violinist and his paternal grandfather an organist who gave the young boy his first piano lessons. Subsequent tutors being Tommaso Giordani, who introduced him to Dublin audiences as a boy prodigy, and Muzio Clementi when the family moved to London in 1793. Like Hummel, Field enjoyed great fame as a performer and teacher, but the music he composed for the pianoforte was in many ways in advance of its time. His influence on Chopin, notably through the conception of the Nocturne, is well known. From Chopin's pupils, it was learned that he taught them Field nocturnes and concertos, and he played various of the nocturnes, adding his own embellishments. Though Field's output was comparatively small, it contained some lyrical pieces as perfect as any written by his successors. I'll endeavor to air all of the nocturnes over the coming weeks. For tonight, numbers 1, 2, and 3 in E-flat major, C minor, and A-flat major. They're played by the Dublin-born pianist, Veronica McSwiney.
Thank you.
Three nocturnes by the Irish classicist John Field, and we'll probably have time for more of another one just before the 7 o'clock news after the next work. Now, going back for a moment to Johann Hummel, Field's direct contemporary, Hummel was appointed in 1804 to the court of Prince Esterhazy as Kapellmeister and deputy to the aged Joseph Haydn, which is a sneaky way of getting to tonight's chapter in Victor Borge's Life of Haydn. If Haydn's marital life left a good deal to be desired, well, Maria kept pushing her husband to buy her a little cottage to live in when she became a widow. Eventually, Haydn did buy it, but he moved into it himself, a merry widower. Anyway, his professional life was really looking up, and in 1761, he accepted the position of vice-kapellmeister to Prince Paul Anton Esterhazy. The prince lived in a modest palace at Eisenstadt. It only had 200 guest rooms and a picture collection that later became the foundation of the Museum of Fine Arts. And the prince made Haydn sign a contract promising to be temperate, mild, and lenient, abstaining from undue familiarity and from vulgarity in eating, drinking, and conversation, taking care to be punctual, and practicing on all instruments that he is acquainted with. It was quite a job. Haydn lived in the servants' quarters right over the stables, and he was not only supposed to compose new music at the drop of the prince's command, but to serve as librarian, taking charge of fixing the instruments, see that the musicians' uniforms were neat, help the copyists, give voice lessons, turn in attendance reports on the players, lead rehearsals, and conduct concerts. A year or two later, Prince Paul died and was replaced by his brother, Prince Nicholas Joseph Esterhazy. His Serene Highness and Knight of the Golden Fleece, though you could just call him the Magnificent. When he took over, the court was still in mourning for his brother, so Nicholas only had them shoot off nightly celebration fireworks for the first few weeks. After a while, though, he got bored with Eisenstadt, so he took a swamp, had it drained, and built on it a fantastic new summer palace designed to out-glamorize Versailles. He called it Esterhaz, so everybody would know who paid for it. And he had it outfitted with hundreds of rooms connected by frescoed halls and lit by crystal chandeliers. There were flower gardens and game parks and hothouses and guest cottages. A hall of clocks with golden cuckoos and a library of 8,000 expensively bound books. There was a marionette theater whose walls were studded with seashells and precious stones, and an opera house where all the loges opened into sumptuous back rooms, luxuriously furnished with fireplaces, divans, and huge clocks. When his guests were bored by the opera, they could go inside, light the fire, sit on the divan, and watch the clocks for a while. The climate was foul, the location remote, and the bedroom drafty. But apparently, meanwhile, here's Joseph, the greatest musical genius as the world has ever known, putting on his wig and blue servant's uniform every morning and patiently waiting in the prince's antechamber for the day's orders. Needless to say, whatever the prince wanted, the prince got. A new opera for the puppets? Certainly. A new symphony for the empress? Of course. When Marie Therese came to Esterhaz, Haydn not only had to prepare and conduct the new music, but run into the field and shoot some grouse for the royal dinner table. Quartets, sonatas, masses, overtures, cantatas, marches, minuets, they named it, Haydn wrote it. He even had to prepare 30 pieces for the prince's mechanical clocks, and a 31st for a crazy armchair that played a flute tune when you sat down in it. Eventually, Haydn himself began to lose track of all his compositions, so he started giving them some of them nicknames, like Bear, Chicken, Lark, Frog, Donkey, and Emperor. Not necessarily in that order. He swapped his razor for a set of shavers, and he wrote the Ox Minuet for a butcher's daughter. When the courtiers fell asleep at his concerts, he shocked them awake with his surprise symphony. When they talked too much at breakfast, he invited them to the Kaffeeklatsch. And when they complained about the weather, he suggested 150 years before Jerome Kern, wait till the clouds roll by. He also composed a symphony called The Absent-Minded One, but I can't remember why. One of the first symphonies Haydn wrote after his appointment to the court of Esterhazy in 1761 was the 22nd, known as The Philosopher, composed in 1764 for Paul Anton, the Prince of Esterhazy. Tonight's recording is by the English Chamber Orchestra. Thank you.
Thank you.